Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Fridays, we usually get a chance to talk to Congressman Jim Himes, and he is here this morning. Congressman, I trust you had a very nice holiday.
Good morning, guys. Yes, I did. Just delighted to be able to spend some time with family and calm and out of Washington, D.C. It was a very good couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, that's over, right?
Yes, it is. It's over next Tuesday. Getting on that train, headed south. Interesting world than I thought, given what happened yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's what we want to talk about. Our top news story, of course, the airstrike at Baghdad's international airport. The Pentagon confirms President Trump called for this, and it resulted in the killing of Iran's general. What is the latest on this that you can tell us? And we want to get your thoughts on this as well.
Yeah. Well, I've been a little stunned since I got the news last night. I sit on the Intelligence Committee, so I spend probably a little bit more time thinking about people like Soleimani than most do. One important thing to understand is that this guy is not a terrorist leader like Baghdadi, who was just killed. He's actually very well thought of in his country, in Iran. And yes, he coordinated terrorist activities. Very bad guy, no question about that. But this is a little different than what happened with Baghdadi or even with Osama bin Laden. Of course, what I'm saying here is that Iran is going to respond. And I don't know that we know how Iran – in fact, I know that we don't know how Iran is going to respond. A lot of people are saying this was a bad guy. He needed to go. There's no question that he was a bad guy and that the world is probably, at least for the moment, a safer place because he is not coordinating destabilizing activities around the region. But Iran is going to respond, and that is a deeply, deeply serious thing. Iran is a country with an awful lot more military resources than Iraq ever had. I don't think anybody knows how this plays out, but it's going to be pretty serious, and we're going to need to be very, very thoughtful about what the next two or three moves on the chessboard are.
And I think one of the other concerns, Congressman Jim Himes, is the fact that I know we are sending, or we already have sent, hundreds of more soldiers over to the U.S. Embassy, obviously, and we've been sending people overseas, and now I kind of feel, obviously, we need to be there, but at the same time, we're sort of now in this almost like a booby trap almost. I do find that I don't know how they're going to retaliate, as you mentioned, but we've kind of put our soldiers in a very bad predicament, I think.
Yeah, we have. Our soldiers are the best there are. So and at the end of the day, an open military conflict is one with Iran is one that we win. It's not a pretty one. It's an expensive one. It's a violent one, which, you know, causes me to believe the Iranians are pretty good chess players. And I don't imagine that they're going to go straight to an open conflict, an open military conflict with the United States, because that doesn't end well for them. But what does worry me, and you put your finger on it, Melissa, is that it's quite possible that, you know, our embassy in Baghdad is no longer going to be tenable. Look, we saw last week, thank God it did not end in violence or any serious violence, but we saw last week how very vulnerable even our thousands of people that are there, even with Marines and helicopters, how that can go wrong. And by the way, we've got troops scattered still throughout Syria. In a place where it's going to be very hard to back them if a local militia or if a popular uprising occurs. So you're absolutely right. One thing that is pretty certain is that it's going to be a long time before embassy officials are leaving the embassy in places like Baghdad and before our troops in the region. And remember, it's not just our troops in Syria. The United States Navy's Fifth Fleet is, all of 30 miles from Iran. In Manama, Bahrain. So I think you put your finger on the important thing for today, which is making sure that our people in the region are safe.
We're talking to Congressman Jim Himes here on WICC 600. And Jim, another thing I wanted to talk about, because we had Senator Richard Blumenthal on yesterday to talk about this, but we know that millions of dollars in government, federal funds, I should say, is going to go towards security measures, education when it comes to places of worship. First of all, I guess your thoughts on where we are at as a country and how it just seems like religion and offenses towards other people or groups of, I guess, religious people. It just seems like we're not really, I don't know. I want to say that we're making progress, but it seems like more churches, more synagogues, more mosques have to keep getting more security, more police presence. And I'm just wondering if this is ever going to stop. I think that we're kind of in this horrible pattern of just continuous attacks on religious people, and it's terrible.
Yeah, and of course it's not just religious people, right? It's on anybody who looks different or speaks different, right? I mean, we've seen an uptick in attacks on immigrants of all types, and you're absolutely right. Let me start by saying something optimistic, Melissa, which is that if you take the long view, and you really do take the long view of decades, the country's doing better at, you know, welcoming people who are different into full membership in our society. And of course, I'm thinking of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters who, when you and I were kids, you know, were ostracized, were afraid to come out of the closet. You know, we've made some progress. So I want to start with that optimistic statement, because what you said is also very true. In the last couple of years, and you know, I try really hard not to be partisan in forums like this one, but when you have a president of the United States who is using the kind of language that the president uses on Twitter, and, you know, suggesting that there's some kind of moral equivalence in Virginia and Charlottesville between, you know, white nationalist protesters and counter-protesters who are saying that's not what we do in our country, you know, that's a tone that is set from the very top. And sadly, look, I've got teenagers, you know, sadly our young people absorb the kind of language that our leaders use, that our adults use, and that puts a real responsibility on each one of us, to push back against people who are inclined to say that if you're black or Latino or Jewish or gay, that you're somehow not a full, a full citizen, a full member of our communities. Because you're absolutely right. And of course, I think what's causing you to ask that, Melissa, is the horrid attack in New York against the rabbi, and of course, so many other incidents like it. And it is time really for all of us to step up and say that nobody is entitled to have those, you know, to act in those ways. That our country is, look, it's on our money, right? Out of many, one. It's our strength. You know, the fact that we welcome people of different backgrounds and different ways of thinking into our country.
Congressman Himes, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We know you're very, very busy, and hopefully next Friday you can fit us in. Thank you so very, very much, my friend.
Sounds good. Take care now.
With us here in the studio, we have Jay Masensik and also Geraldine Valentine. Now, the two of them are behind the Bridgeport Portrait Project, which is a very, very cool. They are the creators and producers behind this, and it really is an incredible story, a snippet, if you will, of what Bridgeport looks like and represents. Thank you guys for coming in this morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you guys. First of all, for anyone who's never heard of the Bridgeport Portrait Project, you're missing out. But what is it all about? What do you guys do?
We ask people to let us take their photo and ask them to tell us their story. It's as simple as that.
But I like to add that it is a cultural heritage documentary style photography and storytelling project.
So you guys are able to show pictures of people, just regular, everyday people who live in Bridgeport, work in Bridgeport, whatever the case may be. And then you have their story as well. Like, is that, you know, you get to get a whole like synopsis of this person?
The person who we introduce ourselves to has to have some sort of a connection to Bridgeport, live or work or come into Bridgeport to play. We photograph people that used to go to the Bluefish baseball game and just go, you know, come into a restaurant to eat. But most of the people we photographed have been residents, long-time residents or work here.
They have a connection to the Park City. They've something, draws them here, which I think is beautiful. So we know you guys have been around doing the Portrait Project since 2014. Do I have that right?
We took our first photo for this project in 2014, just a little over 5 years ago.
Yeah. And now you have your first show for it, which is so exciting. First of all, did you think it would take a little over 5 years before you started putting this up in a public setting?
No way.
We planned on 2 years and planned on photographing about 50 people.
But we have been out and about at some of the senior centers and libraries and what have you, showing like what we call a slideshow / video. And it's got some recordings of people with their stories, but very, very small, because if we end up doing a video with 150 people, I don't know who's going to want to sit around for 8 hours and listen to it.
Right.
All.
I was going to say, we probably wouldn't even get you guys in here for this interview. You'd probably still sit there and watch it. So I totally understand that. But with this showcase. I think it's incredible. So is it kind of like an art gallery where people can walk around and see different people, see their stories? Like, how's the setup of this show in January?
Yes, it is. It's going to be held at the Shelfalt Gallery at the University of Bridgeport, which is at 84 Arniston Avenue. The show will be up from January 21st, 2020 through March 28th. And I guess you could say the big event is the opening reception will be on Saturday, January 25th, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. The gallery is huge, and they're allowing us to curate. I mean, we're doing everything for the show. And that day on the 25th, we're hoping that almost all of the people will be at the show, along with maybe some of their artifacts. And their stories will also be, not all of the stories, we have not interviewed all of the people yet, but some of the stories will be on the wall with QR codes to access.
Oh, that's really cool. I love that aspect. Oh. Do you think that, you know, would you say your goal with this, obviously, is to showcase just the beauty of people who live and work and are connected to Bridgeport, but beyond that, are you hoping to expand, get more than the 150 people? Like, are you going to keep growing this exhibit? Are we talking about you're going to have to take over the University of Bridgeport at some point? Because this is going to get astronomical if I say so myself.
We need more people. We need more people from some of Bridgeport's smaller neighborhoods, smaller ethnic groups. And it just takes a long time finding people and gaining their trust to participate in the project. There's no cost to the person except for their time to participate. But we need more people to, you know, properly define Bridgeport is what, you know, how we look at it. But we planned on taking 2 years. We're 5 years in, and we don't see how we could end it quite yet. But
we
don't want to.
The end is not near. That's for sure. And Geraldine, I know you gave out a bunch of dates there, but for anybody who didn't write them down or anything, can you repeat those dates again? And also, is there a website someone can go if they have any questions about the show or when they can go or anything like that?
Sure. The website is www.misensic-images. Is www.misensic-images.com. MISENCIK-images. And the gallery has just a variety of hours, and so they're not dedicated to certain days or times of the week, but people can contact us, and we already have been talking to some of the senior centers, and if they're interested in getting a group of people, there's a group coming from Maggie Daly, so when they come in, we'll meet them there, so we'll be sure that the gallery is open and they can share the experience.
Ah, that's great. I love that. Thank you guys so much, Geraldine and Jay. Thank you guys for putting this project together and now sharing it with everyone. I'm excited to see it. And you have it open for quite some time, so I'm very excited for that to happen. So thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.